Yesterday, I received an email from a friend of ours who works with Campus Crusade for Christ in the United States. And we've known her for years and years. But anyway, she in her letter she wrote something about Egypt that I would just like to read to you. Despite political turmoil and extreme violence, millions of Egyptians are looking for answers to life's most important questions. Has Allah failed us? Why do Christians still cling to Jesus as their hope? There is an openness to the gospel like never before. It says in Isaiah 19:21, "And the Lord will make himself known to the Egyptians, and the Egyptians will know the Lord in that day and worship with sacrifice and offering. And they will make vows to the Lord and perform them." It only took 4 days after the protests to see a 10% increase in people saying they want to follow Jesus. In the 4 days before June protests started, 8,791 decisions for Jesus. In the 4 days after June protests started, 9,683 decisions for Jesus. Pray for Egypt and other Middle Eastern countries, especially Christians who are severely persecuted. You know, doesn't that just encourage your heart big time? That God is doing incredible things. People are asking questions. Who is this Jesus? Why is it that people continue to worship our Lord Jesus Christ? And that was encouraging to read that again. And I know that we pray often for the Middle East, and we see headlines there on the TV and stuff of just what is going on there. And it's scary. It's bad news. But in and amongst all that bad news, good things are happening. So we need to continue to pray and be encouraged. I want to read Psalm 23 again this morning as we get started. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. For you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect me and comfort me. And you prepare a feast for me in the presence of mine enemies. And you honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life. And I will live in the house of the Lord forever. 2 weeks ago, we spoke on the shepherd taking the flocks up to those tablelands, and just how the shepherd had so much prepared those tablelands for his sheep. How he cleaned out those ponds where there were no weeds and rocks and brush that would interfere with those sheep to drink. And he found places where that would be perfect for them to stay away from the enemies. And he could look down the shepherd and see that the enemies could not attack without being seen, and he could get them. And so we look at a process of maybe a year that's gone by now, and the sheep have been with the shepherd on the farm front for the winter months. In the springtime, they've gone through the green pastures and they've enjoyed that. And they've gone up into the still waters and have been able to drink and drink with comfort. And they've gone into the mountain valleys and now into the highlands, the tabletops, the mesas. And that's where they're at right now. And you would begin to think that these sheep would think, man, now we have it made. We are on this mountaintop experience and great things are going to happen. We're going to enjoy all this good food, all this good water. The shepherd is right there protecting us. And all of a sudden, there is a fly in the ointment. There is a fly. And when summertime comes, there are bugs. And there are lots of bugs. I'm not sure. I don't think I've seen so many flies as I have, whether I was way up in northern Saskatchewan, visiting up there, and I remember sitting outside, and you'd have a plate of food, and within just seconds, that thing would be black. There'd just be so many flies. I remember going to fishing villages over here, and so many flies. It just drives you crazy. You're just constantly being bombarded by flies. I remember being in the jungles in the Amazon territory, and I would be, my arms would just be constantly going like this all the time, just all the time. I could never be still. Ask Katie. She lived there. And Hannah. It's like bugs, gnats, and there's so many different kinds. Just so many kinds. I remember even this past summer, my dad, he will sit outside, and if a fly lands on the table, he has his fly swat there outside. And it's like he's just so into getting flies. I mean, he just hates them. He just hates them. And she paid him too. Summertime can be one of the worst times for sheep. I'm just going to name a few flies here. Warble flies, bot flies, heel flies, nose flies or nasal flies, deer flies, black flies, mosquitoes, gnats. There's all kinds of flies. And the crazy thing is with sheep, you have a fly which is called the nose fly or the nasal fly. And they will be flying around the sheep's face all the time. And they will go into the nostrils, and don't get sick, but they will go into the nostrils and they will lay eggs. And in 2 days, you have this larvae going all over inside their system, in their head. So imagine that. You can't. This inflammation causes these sheep to literally go nuts. It bothers them so much that they will literally bash their heads against rocks, against trees, against brush. They will go about mushing their head into the dirt, into the soil, to try to relieve that pain that is going on, that infestation inside their membranes. They absolutely will go crazy. And in some cases, they will actually kill themselves to get rid of that pain. It can lead to blindness. And so, here you have what they are doing for relief, trying to get rid of this, is beating themselves to death, doing everything that they can to take away that pain. They are very restless. They are always on their feet. They lose weight. The lambs stop feeding. The mothers stop nursing. And so there's death. But there's a remedy also. If you've looked on your front page of the bulletin, there is a shepherd that is pouring a liquid onto a sheep. It's called oil. A shepherd will mix oil with sulfur and with tar, believe it or not. How they came up with this remedy, I don't know, and it's gone back years and years. And they will mix this remedy together, and they will rub it, they will pour this liquid, this oil, this sulfur and tar onto the sheep's head, around the sheep's nose, all over. You know what happens? Instant release. of bugs, instant relief of that aggravation. The bugs don't come by, the flies don't come by one bit. They are out of there. They're gone. And I could probably imagine why. If any of you have smelled sulfur before, it's not a very nice smell. But it's interesting that as soon as the shepherd applies the oil onto the sheep's nose, onto his head, aggravation is gone like that. The frenzy state that they're in is gone. The irritability in the sheep is gone. The restlessness is gone. And for the first time after that oil is applied to the sheep can rest peacefully. It can eat the grass. It can drink. And it can enjoy life again the way it ought to be. And as I studied this week and began thinking about, isn't that interesting how flies can bring so much harm to sheep? Just a little fly, the damage that it can cause. And I began to think of all the different flies in our lives that are bringing damage to us. We have flies that are flying into our ointment. And they're causing great, great problems in and amongst us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. As I began thinking of how it would be a good way to bring this about this morning, and it's like, you know, at times we've talked about petty annoyances. And what I saw out here this morning could have been a very petty annoyance. Something that just really bugged me. Why do I have to pick up the neighbor's garbage? And I sometimes, and I know that when I am annoyed at something, when there is something bothering me, it's interesting that the freedom that I am enjoying all of a sudden disappears. It just disappears. All of a sudden, I'm ticked. All of a sudden, I don't have peace in my heart. I don't have peace of mind. All of a sudden, that calmness that I had there, that I was just enjoying the Lord. I'm on that mountaintop, enjoying the Lord, and all of a sudden, there's a fly, there's a petty problem that has just come to interfere in my life. That calmness is gone. Little nitpicky things that don't amount to anything, but we all of a sudden allow them to blow up into our lives. And one of the greatest examples that I have of this is so many times, not so many times, but there's times when Susan and I will bicker over just such ridiculous things. And it's like, why? Why would I allow that to happen, to take place in my life, a petty little problem? We've always heard of problems, relationships between husband and wife, where we talk about the toothpaste, squeezing it in the wrong place. We talk about the bowl in the toilet not being lifted up or put down, leaving the toilet paper empty. I mean, there can be so many little, petty, useless, stupid things that can so easily take our focus off of that nice mountaintop experience and get our eyes focused on something that is just so ridiculous. I mean, come on, who are we to think that, you know, we're going to allow something like that to control us? Please. But it's those little flies that get in and begin to just annoy us. And these nagging distractions in no time become burning issues. They become big things. And I know personally, I mean, I've gone to bed at night with an attitude towards my wife. And it's like, I'm not dealing with this. Acting like a total fool. And you wake up in the morning, it's like you've had a lousy night. And why did I do that? Why did I do that? Why did I just hurt the person that I love so much? Why did I hurt her? But that's the way we are. And that's the way we function so many times. How do we respond to our neighbors, our co-workers? And those issues just continue to get bigger and bigger. Tiny, tantalizing things torment us. And in time, in short amounts of time, we begin beating our brains, our heads against the wall. Bang, bang. Why am I doing this? Just like those sheep. Trying to get rid of something that is there, that is an infestation. And as some little tiny thing has gotten out of hand so badly that we don't know what to do. Or we're not doing the right things. Or we know what to do, but we don't want to do it. So my behavior as a child of God, what does it do? It degenerates to a most disgraceful sort of frustrated outburst. Just like those sheep, going wild, going frantic, doing everything that they can. And here we are as believers of the Lord Jesus Christ, acting like infested sheep, running out of control, allowing things to control us that should never even be a part of our lives. I sometimes think of how many Christians have left their churches and have gone to another one because they were offended by something. The pastor didn't shake my hand. I wasn't called to be an usher. I was told I couldn't hand out bulletins. You wouldn't believe the kinds of excuses that Christians have said why they left a church. It is unbelievable. How many marriages have gone into divorce because of selfish problems? This is the way I like it done, and that's the way it's going to be. I like to eat my food at 5 o'clock. I don't care. That's the way it has to be. I want my time to myself right now, and that's the way it ought to be. And people, marriages are broken because of the most ridiculous things. Why? Why is it like that? Does it have to be like that? What can we do to rectify the problem? It's so hard to say I'm sorry. Boy, that's hard to say at times. When we think we're right, and to come to our mate, come to our co-worker, come to our neighbor, come to another person in the church and say, hey, I'm sorry. I was out of hand. I should not have done that. Will you forgive me? The sheep, when they're up in those grasslands or up in those mountaintops, that remedy does not last the whole summer. The shepherd has to come alongside every 3, 4, 5 days and anoint the sheep with oil again. 3 or 4 or 5 days again, the shepherd has to do it again and again and again and again. It doesn't stop. It's not a remedy that works for one time. It does not. There must be a continual applying. And as I begin to think of how this applies to us, there needs to be a continual anointing of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It is something that has to take place on a daily, daily, daily basis. We need to apply the oil to our lives. When we wake up in the morning, we have to come before the Lord and say, Lord, anoint me. I need it. I'm not going to get through this day today without the power of the Spirit of God. It says in Luke 11:13, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask of him? It's a fresh applying. The antidote is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Another verse, Ephesians 5:18. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled. Being filled and being anointed is the same thing there. It's being filled. It's being literally controlled by the Spirit of God. That's what He wants from us. And when we are not controlled by the Spirit of God, then we have problems. I ask this question. Is it not a logical and legitimate desire for us as believers to want to have a daily anointing of God's gracious Spirit upon our minds? I mean, is that not a normal thing to happen in our lives? It's interesting, I was talking to somebody this week and he was saying, this guy's a believer and he's walking with the Lord. And he said, you know what, Howard, I don't know what's with my family, but you know what, they're all believers. But nobody desires to grow. Nobody really desires to read the Word of God. Nobody really desires to pray, to have a Bible study with me. And I began thinking about that this morning. It's like, not this morning, but this week. It's like, why is that? It should be our desire to feed on the Word of God and to grow. That should be our desire. And then there's Christians out there that, what I was just told this week, we don't care. I don't care. I don't have any desire to grow in the Lord. Wow, what happened? Is that person even saved? You wonder, what is going on? How could somebody filled with the Spirit of God even begin to think like that? Where does that come from? Like those sheep, so infested, they must be so incredibly blinded that they can't see. And they're being robbed of the blessings of the Lord that He wants to do in each one of us, inside of us. It should be a normal thing for us to want to ask, call upon the Lord. Lord, anoint me today. I want to be filled to capacity with the Spirit of God in my life right now. That should be our desire here on this earth. And only God can form in us that mind of Christ. It is the Holy Spirit alone that can give us that attitude of Christ. It's Christ alone that makes it possible for us to react when aggravations come, when annoyances come, that we can walk in quietness, that we can walk in peace of mind, that we can enjoy pure fellowship with God. It doesn't matter what's happening on the outside. That's taken care of. It's what's happening in the inside, that I can walk in pure holiness in front of God because of what He has done for me. We can be content. We can be incredibly intent through every obstacle in our life if we ask God for help. If we can claim Ephesians 5:16 and say, I don't want to be drunk with wine. I want to be filled, controlled by the Spirit of God. I want Him to control me, not myself, not myself. It says in Romans 8, verse 1 and 2, I just love this. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set me and you free from the law of sin and death. We are set free. We are totally set free. There's no condemnation. We are free. We don't have to be controlled. Those annoyances that come our way, they don't have to be annoyances. We are set free. And it is this daily anointing, the daily filling of the Spirit of God in our lives, that we can enjoy that joy that only He can give, the contentment that only He can give, the love that only He can give, the patience and the gentleness and the peace. And what is the opposite of that? You have tempers. You have frustration. You have irritableness. Do you ever see an irritable Christian? A Christian that his temper has just kind of gone whack? It's not a pretty sight, especially from a Christian. It's one thing when the world does that. Who wants to be a disgruntled Christian? I don't think none of us do. None of us do. We want to enjoy life. We want to enjoy a fellowship with our Lord. We want to walk in His presence. We don't want to be disgruntled. We need to come to our Lord pleading, Oh Lord, I can't cope with these petty, annoying, peevish problems. Please, apply the oil of Your Spirit to my mind. Apply that oil to my mind, both at the conscious and subconscious levels of my thought life. Enable me to act and react as You would. Someone once said, Lord, fill me daily with Your Holy Spirit, for I am a leaky vessel. Boy, isn't that so true? We are such leaky vessels. Let us come each day afresh to the Lord for that fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit, that our cup might be overflowing, that we would live our lives so incredibly overflowing that people would just see it in us, that people would see Christ. We should never take for granted that we are filled with God's Holy Spirit. Each and every day, would it not be a good idea to ask the Lord, Lord, please fill me afresh with Your Holy Spirit. Anoint my head again afresh with the Holy Spirit. Fill my cup and let it overflow with the peace, the power, the joy in the Holy Spirit. Thank You, Jesus. Let's close in prayer. Father God, thank you for Your Word. And Father, it's not easy. It is not easy to live this life, this Christian life, this life that You've given to us. But thank You, Father, for the Spirit of God. Thank You that You have given us the tools that we need to live it. And yeah, we're going to fall, because that's the way we are. But Father, that we would get back up again, and that we would learn from our mistakes and be stronger than ever before, and put in on the full armor of God, saying we can do it. By Christ's strength, by the Spirit, we can do it. And even though we are vessels, very fragile, and we have all kinds of leaks and holes in us, and yet you're there to keep filling us up. Thank you for your encouragement. Thank you for your word. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.